Good morning and welcome to Feedback. It is 6 minutes after 8 in the a.m. Thank you very much for letting us be part of your busy Wednesday. We are going to tackle right off the bat something rather important. We're going to tackle something that is rather controversial, and I don't think that the media did a very good job of explaining the circumstance at all. I believe, and I know, go figure, that's a real shocker, isn't it? I believe the media grabbed hold of a concept regarding something that the Pope said in a letter to somebody else, ran with it in their limited understanding, and have done a tremendous amount of damage to not only what the Pope meant, but to understanding of what it takes to enter into heaven. All right. Now, this, I know this is a different subject that we normally don't tackle on this program, but I'll tell you this, when it comes to addressing really important issues, I personally believe there is not any issue on this earth that we face that is more important than what happens when we die. I know a lot of people out there are like, well, you rot. That's what happens when you die. You're in a cold place. You get to sleep forever. I understand. But there's also a lot of us that have a question of, are we as human beings eternal in our existence? Is our soul eternal? Meaning, is there life after death? I personally believe, yes, there is. And I also believe that there are some rules regarding that, and they're very strict, but they are very fair. So when the Pope Francis wrote a letter recently, he was addressing some letters that were written to him by an 89-year-old gentleman by the name of Eugenio Scalfari. Now, this individual had written a series of open letters to the Pope asking, basically, if an individual who is not a believer in Jesus commits a sin, will the Christian God forgive him? The media came out and said, and interpreted the response of the Pope saying that, yes, you don't have to be a believer in God in order to go to heaven. And it is on that premise we're going to start our discussion. I have a very special guest with us today. He is Pastor David Tucker. He is a pastor of a Baptist church in Kentucky. Good morning to you, David. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Doing well.
Well, first of all, it's very we're not going to be able to identify you as being from Kentucky. You obviously have a northern, you know, a Midwestern accent, so we're going to have to get used to that.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint.
All right, talk to me a little bit. You are what's the name of your church, and what's your official capacity so that we can establish some credentials here?
Well, I am the senior pastor at Second Baptist in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. We are located in western Kentucky, just north of Fort Campbell, serving our community and, of course, the soldiers there at Fort Campbell.
Okay. How did you become pastor of that church? What's your educational background? You didn't just pop up one day and say, hey, I can do this.
No, I did not. I spent time in school both at Wheaton College, just a little south of where you're at, down near Chicago. I got my college degree there, went on to get my Master of Divinity at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. And spent time in both inner-city missions and in rural missions in Utah and in Boston, Chicago, various places around the country, and just have always enjoyed serving God and following where He calls me to go.
Excellent. All right, let's address this. The first thing that were you familiar with this correspondence that I'm referencing here? Have you read it? Are you aware of what was going on in the news?
I have read a couple of the reports about it. I haven't gone back to the source or anything like that. I haven't gone into great detail on it, but I can say that in the reports that I have seen, he seems to be, like you just said, responding to the question of an individual. And the first thing I think that we have a problem with is that we're eavesdropping in on a conversation. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but a lot of times you can misread what goes on in that situation. So my fear is that maybe something was taken amiss when it was really aimed at individual question with an individual person.
Right.
So I don't know exactly all of the details, and I don't know the Pope personally, so we'll put that on the table as well.
I haven't had the opportunity to meet with him personally either. Now, this is an open letter, so it was published for mm-hmm. all to read. The correspondence back and forth. It's not where, you know, somebody grabbed hold of the letter and said, "Oh, I'm going to read."
No.
This is published for all to read. The Independent, which is a printed publication, the headline says, quote, "Pope Francis assures atheists, you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven."
Right.
That is the headline that caught my attention, and I just about stroked out when I saw that. I thought, if the Pope said that, then the Pope is wrong. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, there's a real good chance that the article is wrong. I need to do some digging. So I did, and I have found actually a copy of the letter that the Pope wrote to this individual. It is an extremely long letter, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, obviously. I may post it on our Facebook page, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I did find the paragraph that the media latched onto.
Yes, sir.
He says, "I believe that in the first two questions, what interests you is to understand the attitude of the church toward those who do not share faith in Jesus. Above all, you ask if the God of the Christians forgives those who do not believe and who do not seek faith. Given the premise, and this is fundamental, that the mercy of God is limitless for those who turn to him with a sincere and contrite heart, the issue for the unbeliever lies in obeying his or her conscience." There, and this is what they grabbed onto. They said that the Pope said, article that was written, they said, if you obey your conscience, then God will let you into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what he's saying.
No.
The letter goes on to say, there is sin, even for those who have no faith, when conscience is not followed. Listening to and obeying conscience means deciding in the face of what is understood to be good or evil. It is on the basis of this choice that the goodness or evil of our actions is determined. In other words, those that wrote the article didn't understand what the heck he was talking about here.
Well, I think what they did is they heard what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and people do that, both inside and outside the church. We know what we want, and we normally latch onto it very, very quickly. I agree. Your statement is exactly accurate. In the article, they even quoted the passage where, or the section, I should say, where he states that the thing you need to do is, you know, come to God with a sincere heart. Well, the first statement there is kind of contradictory to what the question is, and that is, can an atheist who says there is no God
right.
be able to come to God? Well, in order for you to come to God, you have to make this leap of faith. You have to make this statement of belief. And so the thing that he's talking about there is this idea that, you know, if a man is beginning to recognize that he has sin and he needs to have it addressed, he's starting to really search for, okay, where can this be handled? And the only place that sin really can be handled is in God. And so that leads an individual to faith. But by definition, once you start going down that road, you've left atheism. I mean, atheism, by definition, says there's no God. Well, how do you turn to a God that doesn't exist? You know?
So I had a very good conversation with an individual not too long ago that was a professed atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing, and I was trying to get an understanding of this individual and why they believed, or why they believed the way they did, why they insisted there was no God. And it turned out that there was a very tragic personal experience where somebody they loved dearly died far too early. And in the emotion, the individual said, "I hate God for taking this person away from me."
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big revelation. It wasn't that they did not believe God existed.
Mm-hmm.
They were angry at God. And so it's very easy to say, well, you don't exist. You're gone. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. But you're not an atheist at that point. You acknowledge that God exists, but you're not an atheist. And that's just a side point. David, can you hold on for me for one, like for about 3 minutes while we do some commercials?
Absolutely.
There's some issues of absolute truth that I'd like to address that ties in with this, because what has happened here with this news article is that it has watered down the absolute truth of God's word. And it is a very important issue that needs to be addressed, that there are absolute truths, and there are some things that cannot be wavered on. I'd like your opinion on that if you have a minute.
Absolutely.
All right, WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, don't go anywhere. We're talking about the issue that the Pope was misquoted, I believe, saying that you don't have to believe in God in order to go to heaven. 715-845-2155. We'll take your calls after this.
Get breaking news from the WSAU newsroom straight to your cell phone. Text NEWS to 39327, and you'll always be up to date. From AM 550, FM 99.9, and WSAU.com.
Welcome back to Feedback, 8:22 on a Wednesday. Special guest with us today is Pastor David of Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And we're talking about this open letter that the Pope corresponded back and forth with an elderly gentleman, 89-year-old gentleman, that was asking questions about faith, asking questions about forgiveness. The Pope very clearly said in his letter that if a man obeys his conscience, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but the Pope in the letter said if a man feels that his conscience is weighing on him about his life, his sinful life, and he turns to God, then yes, there is the grace and forgiveness of God, and the individual can enter into heaven. The press grabbed hold of this and said, and interpreted the conversation as the Pope saying to the atheist, hey, it's okay. You don't have to believe in God in order to get into heaven. And that is extremely dangerous. Now, you know that we don't get into very specific religious issues on this program very often, but you know that I am a believer in absolute truths. There are things that are black and white and no gray area, and this is one of them. David, thank you very much for holding on through the break and coming back with us and talking. There's a lot of conversation that, and I've heard it from celebrities like Oprah and others, that there's many pathways into the kingdom of heaven. Mm. And as a pastor of a Baptist church in the South, you agree with that? You think there are many pathways, or is there but one?
No, and that's not simply as a pastor of a church in the South. I was raised outside of Boston and schooled in Chicago, and in every place that I have gone and with every people group that I have met with, I have found that there is an understanding that God not only exists, but that he has laid out a path by which we can come to him. And every individual that I've encountered, I've shared the same message, and it doesn't matter what region of the country I'm in or what race I'm speaking with or what cultural background an individual brings. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one enters the kingdom except through me. And so without Christ, there is no entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Now, that is offensive to many. There are those who, want to say, hey, I'm good enough. I've obeyed my conscience, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that, if I've got enough good check marks, that should be sufficient for God. He should be okay with me. I don't need to accept his son. I don't need to even recognize his son. I should be able to do it any way I choose.
In other words, I can go to the party without an invitation.
Exactly. Or I can ignore literally the sacrifice of a child. We just recently had a family in our church, and very unfortunate circumstances, they lost a child. And we did the funeral, and it was extremely sorrowful. The family's still working through the grief. And if you were to walk up to that family and say, well, I understand that, you loved your child and all of that, but honestly, not important to me, that would not fly well.
No.
And when an individual looks at what Christ did and saying, he went to the cross, he died for you. God sent him to the front lines to die in your place. And then you look at God and say, that's fine, but it's just not important to me. Well, that's not going to fly.
No.
And God has laid out this plan from the very beginning of eternity. This was the way he designed it. He could have done it any number of ways, I assume.
Sure.
But this is the way he chose.
Now, there's a lot of people that would say, well, now, how do you know that your God is the one true God? And we could have probably a 2 or 3 hour conversation on that one alone.
Right.
But I'm gonna go on the assumption, all right? I happen to believe that the God that we're speaking of, that Jesus is the Son of the one true God. Then if that is true, that there is but one way in, where is the source of those that are diluting or even just completely changing that message? You can do this, you can do that, you can believe in this God over here, you can stand on your head and pat your tummy in the three ways, and then boom, you're into heaven. If God says there's only one way in, what is the source of the information coming to us that says, oh, no, there's several different ways in? You don't have to pay attention to that whole Bible thing.
Well, I think, honestly, you know, the scripture says that Satan is called the father of lies. And there is a real hell, there is a real devil, and there is real deceit that goes on in our world. The scripture also says in James that we deceive ourselves, that sin comes from our own evil desires that are within us. We have those evil desires. Individuals will come up and say, you know, I'm not a sinner. I don't have those kind of thoughts in me. But if you dig deep enough, you find stuff in every individual.
Sure.
You do in pastors, and you do in people who are not pastors. I mean, we're all sinners, and so we all have those motivations. And so I think that all of the other avenues and paths and everything else, they come from, one, the people having a desire to kind of make their own way. Everybody likes to do it their own way. And I think that sometimes we look at God and say, hey, you know, I appreciate that idea, but I'm going to do my own thing here. The second one is obviously Satan. Satan has a desire not to have people go to heaven. He has a desire to drag as many souls into hell as possible, and that's his destination. That is his doom. And so he is actively at work. The scripture says he is like a lion that is roaming the earth, looking for a soul to devour. And so we know that there is this counter force that is engaged in our world. But that force is nowhere near capable of overcoming what God has given. And the grace of God is there. I love the concept of, like, China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, China is a country that literally has said, by law, if you're going to move ahead in our country, you will have to forsake the belief in God. And it's one of the places that the church, where those who believe in God and in Jesus Christ, is growing faster than anywhere else.
And it's very dangerous there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We just had some missionaries that came through and spoke to our church about how, you know, they're ministering in that area. And as they came, you know, we don't, you know, share their names and all the rest
right.
of it. We just, they came and they ministered to us and shared with us what was going on. But they go there and they see the ministry grow. They see the people grow.
Yeah. Listen, there's going to be some times in the near future where I see things that are happening geopolitically and in our own society that can be broken down into not just a political viewpoint or a societal viewpoint or an economic viewpoint, but it can be broken down into good versus evil, right versus wrong. And I'd like to ask you if you'd be willing occasionally to be my go-to person as far as scripture when we're having these issues that can be broken down into good versus evil, God versus Satan. I'd like to invite you back on the show every once in a while and throw that discussion at you and get your input.
Oh, I'd be more than pleased to. Absolutely.
Excellent. David, thank you very much for being on with us. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. We got to run to some commercials, speaking
right.
of evil. And I appreciate your time. Thank you so very much for being on the show with us.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We will be back in just mere moments. This is the WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. It's Feedback. Your phone calls when we return, 715-845-2151. 55.
The News, Talk, and Packers Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.